This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It's 8 minutes past 10 o'clock. My next guest is in studio. Cope Gauteng chairperson, also Cope Gauteng premier candidate is here in studio. Tom Mofokeng is here. Of course, you will understand, of course, if you've been following politics of Cope and also if you've been following politics of Gauteng here, you would not have missed Tommy Mofokeng the standing and the involvement of him in the sort of aspects and challenges and or prosperity of Cope. Let's start with this, Tommy. Welcome to Power Perspective. Welcome to Power 98.7. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Denzel. I'm happy to be here, and thank you even for your listeners.
I saw Nelvis as he was walking out, Azapo saying, good luck, gents, good luck, good luck, good luck. I see the spirit of elections everywhere here.
Yes.
Is that kind of a camaraderie thing, hoping, you know, do well, guys, you know, like, let's go out there, be competitive, but you know what, it's a competition, but I hope you do well.
It's funny because with what is termed small parties, we wish everyone well, but when it comes to the so-called bigger parties, they don't want us to raise our heads. You know, they consider us as if we are not existing, and they don't wish us very well. Eh?
Is it a tough place to be when you're a small party and you are up against that kind of might, the bigger political parties? Is it a tough place to be all round?
To be in the opposition politics, it's a tough game. It needs men and women that are very tough, who understand what politics are. But at the same time, you know, it's interesting because you sit down, you can actually direct politics to where you want them. Because if you stand firm for the truth and follow everything accordingly, then there's no way that they will not agree with you.
You're in the Power 98 Point studio here at the moment. You're in my studio. You're on my show. I have to ask because so many people will say, you know, engrossed in so many issues over such a long time, are you able to breathe? Are you at a point where you can relax and say, you know what, we are out of all of it? Despite the recent, you know, Colleen Makubela was just the recent exits of the party and all of that. But you've had massive court battles and massive fights and massive contestation, whether it be branches, issues of money and or then leadership issues, whatever it is. Are you in a place where you are breathing in clean air as a political party?
You know, I'm always on the side of the truth. And the truth is, Cope is back on its feet. Cope is going very far. We are emerging as one of the voice of reasons in the country, but not only that, as a party that is trusted by people. So we are doing very well. And concerning the squabbles, you know, I think every party goes through that, but I don't know, ours are magnified.
It hurts more, Tommy, though, when you're a smaller party and you go through it, because the consequences are so much bigger when you're a smaller party. The fractionalism is so much bigger when you're a smaller party, because you're already small and you're up against these massive giants. And if you're going through all of these issues that the bigger parties are also going through, it hurts more when you're smaller, I'm assuming.
Remember, we were once big, and at that time, it was more frustrating than now, because you know you'll not even know where to start, what is happening. You had factions that were actually very serious and well funded to try and stop the growth of the party. But as a small party, you know each and every player, you know everyone, you know who's faulty, you know who started it, and it's easy to discipline those people.
Yeah.
And that is what we are doing right now.
Sure. Let's get to the election. A lot of people, I have to put it to you this way. If you go to social media, so COPE announces that it is postponing its manifesto. Right, postponing the manifesto, which would have been over the weekend, and you will look at a different day, and it would have been at Sirman Hall, Hammanskraal, on Saturday. And part of the reasons given for that were you wanted to stop a stampede, because also other political parties were beginning to engage you as smaller political parties, and you needed to take all of that on board. But when the statement came out and said we needed to stop a stampede, social media went, ha, COPE, come on, who are you talking to? You know what, a stampede? And they laughed. And you know what, people looked, and there was a particular narrative that was in their head if you looked at it like that. What would have been your response, or what is your response?
Denzel, what happened is, we chose this hall in Hammanskraal, and we specifically wanted to go to Hammanskraal because we understood the plight of Hammanskraal. We don't understand why Hammanskraal, up to this day, for 30 years, doesn't have water. Cholera comes out of that place. Development is so bad. You know, streets are so bad. There is literally no street. I think there's only one street in Hammanskraal that is not that is having fewer potholes. But we wanted to be there. We couldn't find a bigger place. And towards the end of the week, you know, when we were ready, you'll remember that as the provincial chair, I was hands-on on that. When we were ready, expecting people, we then signed some sort of a memorandum of understanding with about 12 tribal leaders or traditional leaders. And those people had a strong following. When, after signing here in Houghton Hotel, we are given lists of the buses that are coming all the way from Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and so on. And we had only planned that we are actually accommodating 1,005 in a hall that takes about less than 1,000. You know, municipal halls are not that big. And then we then realize that if we are going to continue to go forward with that, and with the challenges that we have of water, because we had to buy bottled water and all those kind of things, it was going to be a problem. And tomorrow will be blamed by the same people who are saying, how can you avoid stampede? Because you have to take leadership. It's better to postpone and do the right thing rather than having people there coming in their thousands, because at that time we had recorded over 5,000 people that are coming when we are in a venue of about 1,000 people.
Got you. Have you been able also, as COPE, I have to ask, Tommy, having understood the emergence of how COPE would have started, and Polokwane, and throughout all the years, and something that has stuck with some people, despite COPE having proved itself over a period of time in elections, some might say, you know, that there's been a demise and an implosion of some sort. But a lot of other people said COPE was not able to identify differently than the mother body that it broke away from. And in essence, those characteristics would have been the same. Policy characteristics would not have been too much different. Now, over the years, COPE has had its own constitution, its own manifesto, and own. But what do you say to people who still would engage a conversation that says, yeah, COPE was actually individuals who really, really were not breaking away. They were more angry with Thabo Mbeki. They were more angry with Jacob Zuma, and hence the breakaway. And so no differentiation in essence in policy and or other. What would you say that so many years later?
Denzel, what I can say is that we have tried and tested leaders in COPE, and there are very few political parties that has that. And when we actually left the ANC and started Congress of the People,
with your trademark, I might add, because you took it from court.
Yes,
you fought for it in court, so yes, you took it with the trademark.
Yes. Now, when we did that, we could see 15 years ahead. What is going to happen 15 years ahead? And by then, those people who were actually excited because they are in this big party, and it was jobs for pals, it was a tender for friends and girlfriends and everybody, things was, we started seeing that. And I remember very well when Ntatelo Kota went to 702 to say, this is not what we struggled for, and I'm serving the divorce papers. You know, today, everybody can see that COPE was right then, and COPE will be right going forward. And we lost all the opportunities. We left everything. Ntatelo Kota left things like, being a minister.
He was defense minister.
Of defense, defense minister. That is a very powerful
position. I flew with him to the DRC.
Oh, great!
In a military aircraft. Yeah.
Yes. Now he was a great man. He was the third. He was the third powerful man in the ANC, and yet he left all those things. Not only him, but a whole group of people who said, we can see that we are in a car that is going to crash, and we are not going to be the victims. And even today, we are more happier outside to say we saw this coming. And the same car is crashing with its passengers.
Tommy, does that help you today? If when you tell that story and you can reflect back, and I have an understanding of it, where you say we saw it then, what people are seeing now, and you can relate to that, does that help you on the ground to ignite people to say, we actually saw it, vote for us, because we were the trailblazers to what some people are only doing now? Does that help you on the ground? Does it help your messaging? Or alternatively, what are you doing to actually get your messaging to the ground that says vote COPE?
A few years ago, it was a disgrace not to be a member of Congress, African National Congress. You know, you'll walk around the streets with your tail, between the legs, because people would
you were an outcast.
Yes. And we actually managed to stand firm at that time. And today, with all these coalitions, everything happening, even those parties that were thinking that we were wrong, and even individuals, are now starting little parties and little mikukus everywhere, because that we had actually opened the door of free politics in South Africa.
led the way, in essence.
Yes.
What is your take of the situation on the ground? So let's talk Gauteng for you're the premier candidate here.
Yeah.
Let's talk Gauteng, for example. What is the feeling on the ground? What is getting you excited about this particular election that says, you know what, people are going to vote differently in this election and COPE is going to do well?
We are having we are starting to have people coming in great numbers.
Mm.
One of the reasons why we went to Hammanskraal, we are growing faster in the Tshwane area than any other place.
Mm.
And also, we are growing very fast in places like Diepsloot and Orange Farm.
Mm.
You know, in Ekurhuleni, the neglected areas of Daveyton, the far east of Springs and all those things, people are starting to come to us. It is only those that thought, you know, they are comfortable within the ruling party that are still there. But growth is there and we are going very strong.
Mm.
Just this of the issue of us attracting now late these elections, traditional leaders of representing over 13 tribes.
Mm.
And today I was sitting with the people that were coming all the way from El Dorado Park, linking us, you know, actually bring the message that the Khoisan leaders wants to see us as Congress of the People.
Mm.
It's something that we can go home to rejoice.
Mm.
That now we are rooted. We are no longer a party that is built on sand.
Mm.
The foundation is there, and now we can only build going up.
Tell me what, you know, I had Nalvis here in the studio, Zapo, earlier on, and he was talking about the imbalance that finances create. And he was saying that it's not that people don't like what a Zapo is offering. It's the fact that, you know, other political parties just have so much money and can do so much more, which makes them run faster, in essence. How are you fighting a battle with less money, less resources, where others do have a lot of money? How are you trying to get the balance right? What are you doing? Oh, so, unless I'm wrong and COPE has a lot of money.
No, we don't. But what I know, South Africans are very wise.
Mm.
They know the status of their country. They know what is happening. They know and understand why are other parties funded more than others.
Mm.
We are not complaining about that. Let those who want to fund whoever they want to fund do so.
Mm.
We are in the politics of going to people, talking to people, and showing them what we are losing as a country, because we are more patriotic than many other people who are taking politics as a place of getting a job.
Mm.
We are talking to people on a daily basis.
Mm.
And that is where our consolation comes from.
Mm. Have you seen the contestation for premiership of Gauteng? And political parties are throwing big names at premiership for Gauteng. You're up against strong candidates for the premiership role here, and you've put your hand up for COPE. What is it that you would have seen in Gauteng that you would deal differently with as premier here in Gauteng?
I think there are a few things that we have to do, and I have been in Congress of the People and Chairman of Congress of the People for quite some years.
Mm.
I think more than about 10 years that I've been chairperson of Gauteng.
Mm.
I have studied what is happening around, and I have seen that this country, we must, what I will do differently, first thing, is to make sure that I prioritize the growth of economy in this lovely province that we have. And that I can do very easy because we are having warehouses that are empty from Denver to all the places that we have done SWAT in the Eastern Val area, Pretoria. All those warehouses are empty today. There is
Mashaba was talking about that yesterday. He said the same thing you're saying now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is where the whole problem is. We have to concentrate on manufacturing. I don't see the sense of us waiting for ships to come from China to come and bring things that we can actually do for ourselves. And one thing that I will definitely prioritize in this, if I get elected, you know, Denzel, we had, I must say, the steel manufacturing in Gauteng has to be brought back. This is where developments are happening, and everybody is building, and in any construction, you need steel. We have closed steel manufacturing in the area of Vereeniging, and those facilities are still there. If I be elected, that's the first place where I will go to. Steel manufacturing has to take place. We have all it takes. We have iron ore in the country. I don't see the logic of taking it to China and getting steel ready-made, and we are now becoming resellers. But not only that, the amount of land that you have in both Tshwane and Ekurhuleni, I'll turn that into an agricultural site to produce food for our people and to make sure. Remember when I was MMC in Johannesburg, I was the market was under my portfolio, and I have seen we took that market from a turnover of 600 cope. From a turnover of 600 million, today it's running over 1.4 billion when ANC took over a month ago. Now, it's just to get the people working the land and supplying the cities with the food that has to come. But I'll also go further to fight for subsidy of those farmers. You know the reason that our food is so expensive these days is because nobody cares. We have left people who are in the agricultural industry alone, not knowing what to do and all those things. They are funding everything with their money. That is why we have so much crime, because people have got so much to steal, because money goes up and down from treasury to the municipalities to governments. It just we will take that money and subsidize both manufacturing, agriculture, and so on. But there are so many things that South Africans can do, local manufacturing, but also I will look at enlarging, you know, the middle class, the size of middle class. I can see my competitors, all the guys that you are talking about, are telling you we are going to help the poor, the poor. Yes, we must help the poor, but we must start by helping the middle class, because it is the middle class that will pull the poor from wherever they are. If you concentrate on enlarging the size of the middle class, your tax base grows, and from tax base growing, you are actually coming up with ways of these people starting their own businesses to help the poor. And every middle class today has got three or four, five people working for him. I've got somebody helping me with my garden, my ironing, and all those things. if I can be empowered by government and government giving me opportunities, I will definitely make a bigger difference. And we are going to rescue a lot of the what we call the lower class or the poor into middle class. And that is where we will be concentrating. And that is what we as a Gauteng people have sponsored into our manifesto to say this is the way to go.
Tommy Mofokeng, I'm going to bring you back with the manifesto and all of that. I'm going to say thank you for coming on to Power Perspective. I'm also going to say thank you so much when the posters go up and your face is on them for premiership here in Gauteng as well. Thank you so much for coming into Power Perspective, and I'm looking forward to the next conversation after the manifesto launch.
Denzel, thank you so much, and I believe that Power is the radio station that has actually given us the voice more than any other. So we appreciate it, and you are doing a great job.
And you're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Cope, of course. And the next conversation will start in a second, but Tommy Mofokeng, Premier candidate for Cope, and saying we have settled all our issues. We were built on sand before. Well, you know, we have concretized those particular spaces. Watch this particular space, and our troubles are something of the past. We just don't know where we're going to get the money yet. We're looking for it. But as soon as we do, we're going to be up there and competing with the rest. All I can say is, Tommy, thank you so much. And we're also looking and going to be monitoring and watching and bringing you back regularly. And maybe even, you know, Lekote, put in a good word, bring him into the studio, and let's engage with him for the sort of engagement that one needs to have around COPE, which is a long, nice, thorough conversation with yourself and Mosia Lekote in studio, just talking about, you know, the existence of COPE.
Thank you, Denzel.
Tommy Mofokeng, thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.